If you fill out a next steps or a welcome card or welcome contact information in the bulletin you received this morning and drop it in the next step kiosk box on the desk, we can also start sending you weekly emails if you just want to know what's happening at our church. But the final way, if you just are looking to connect and meet some people, stay after service for a little bit, grab a coffee and visit. Now, there's a special thing happening after today's service, so it'll look a little different than normal, but still, you are welcome to stay. So if you are a guest with us and you do have children and you want them to be a part of the children's programming, we have it available for children grades 6 and under. You'll just need to register them downstairs, and we have a guest registration desk downstairs. So there's a hallway running right under this thing, right under our gym. At that end of the hallway, there's a guest registration to fill out. So for those of us who've been here, everybody can look on stage and see our cross, and they'll see, oh, yeah, that we know what that's about. But if you've never been here before, you're like, why are there sticky notes all over their cross? And this is a reminder for us. Those are people that we have written down personally, neighbors, friends, family, that we're praying for, that we want to be able to share the good news with. We want to be able to share, just love them, and be able to share in the fellowship of Jesus Christ with them. So those are people we're praying for. If you haven't been here before and wanted to know what that was about, that's what it's about. So during the Lenten season, we've been going through what we've called pray, bless, and invite. So we are praying for people. We are asking, looking for opportunities to bless. Our blessing totals are now, the ones that have been reported are well over 200 now. So that is awesome. And just keep up the good work. Keep blessing your friends, neighbors, coworkers. Our two services, Good Friday, which is April 19th, it'll be at 10 a.m. There's going to be childcare for grade one and under, just for parents planning ahead. Easter service is April 21st at 10 a.m. We'll be celebrating with dessert and coffee after service, but that doesn't happen unless we contribute and bring ready-made, nut-free desserts to share and plated and ready to go. We don't have a huge volunteer team ready for that day because we're hoping all the plates are ready to go and we can just set them out after the service and enjoy a time of fellowship together. A few more announcements. So today, after service, is a Peru fundraiser lunch. I think that should be coming up shortly, the slide, but so it's a really good lunch. So first off, what's it cost? It's $7 a person. Unless you got a big family, it's only $25 for your family. And you say, okay, what is this food? Why should I stay? So Chris Frank, for those of you who know her, she is an amazing cook and knows how to put on a dinner. Yeah, look at that round of applause she's already getting. So she has made chicken piccata, which is a fancy name for lemon chicken breast, so that sounds good already. There's meatballs and marinara sauce. Kids will know it as spaghetti and meatballs. And there will be pasta or rice available as well, and with some garlic bread and desserts, cupcakes, and that sort of thing. So it's a really good lunch, and it goes towards supporting a Peru mission trip. Eric and Pat Carlson, if they're in the gym here. Somebody's pointing. I see where. Oh, there's Eric. He's on this side. They normally sit on that side. That's why I was looking over there, just so everybody's aware. All right. So our next announcement is CHC Gives Back. You say, what's that? I don't know. So from Saturday, May 4th to Thursday, May 9th, we've wanted to come up with a way of we as a church body can bless our community, bless our city. And so what we want is, what we've come up with is a number of different things, that programs that already happen in our city, we aren't making them up. We just want to be a part of them because they're already well run, and we just want to be helping those out. So a few of the things that we're doing is one thing called Food Not Bombs. You can look it up on a website. It's basically helping give out food downtown. Helping out at the Gleaners, that's a weekday day thing. You'd be helping out with the staff. If you don't know what the Gleaners is, it's you could be chopping food, packing bags. They make soup and send it overseas down to Central America during disaster and relief. It's really awesome, well-run program. So if you have that time off, please come and join us. Ray of Hope is going to be an evening event, and there's volunteer signups at the back, so all of them have specific days and times. and just helping out downtown, helping serve. Christian Horizons, we're going to do a spring cleanup at their Activa house. So they have a house right here in the Activa neighborhood. We're going to do a spring cleanup. Depending on how large a group we have, it'll be indoors and outdoors. And Sunnyside Home, we're going to be doing a bingo night. Again, lots of opportunities. Kids can be a part of some of these things. So if you're wondering, don't hesitate to ask. And there's sign up at the back. Space is limited because we can only have some events we only need 10 people. So, but we encourage you to sign up. It's a way for our church to bless our community in a lot of different ways. So please sign up. And a couple more things. Mark your calendars. Prayer gathering, Tuesday, April 9th, 7 p.m. Please come on and join us. And the annual business meeting, Sunday, April 28th, 6 p.m. Members and even non-members who are just curious, mark your calendars for that. Please come out and for voting and our annual meeting purposes. All right, kids, grade 6 and under. That was a whole boatload of announcements, but kids, grade 6 and under can go down. And anybody else who's staying up here, find somebody, find a face you don't know and say hello and welcome them to Country Hills.
Good morning. Hey, Mark. How are you? I got your message this morning. I didn't respond. I'm sorry. Thanks, though. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Morning. How are you? Doing good? Okay. Well, let's slowly try to bring it back in. Morning, John. Yeah. As the new guy and the first time doing this, I don't know how to herd everybody back together. I was told by a couple staff members, you kind of have to be gentle, but also, I don't know. So look at that. You just start talking and it works. This is good. Thank you, Chrissy, for that advice. That was great. Well, good morning. Welcome again to Country Hills. We're so happy to have you here this morning. And this morning, we're continuing our series called 7 Days That Changed Everything. And if you've missed the last few weeks, that's okay. I'm going to do a quick recap for you. What we're doing is we're going through the days leading up to the death and resurrection of Jesus, the 7 days or the week that led up that changed everything. And of course, in the beginning, Jesus rides in triumphantly, and everybody is so excited to see him. And then we talked about Jesus in the temple, and I wasn't here that week, but on Facebook, did I see a table up here that actually got thrown into the second row? So that was pretty exciting. It reminds me of something that I'm very excited about tonight, which nobody else is, and all my youth will laugh at me, which, of course, is WrestleMania. Who's excited for WrestleMania today? Yes. That's good. That's a lot of boos. Almost as many boos as I'll get when I tell you that I'm a Bruins fan. Yeah, there we go. Yes. Just so that you know, my 3-month probation ends in the end of next week, so you have lots of time to send Jeremy emails about whatever you want. Wow, that was loud. And you knew it. You went, oh. That was funny. Day 3, Jesus is anointed at a Bethany. Day 4, of course, the plot begins to kill Jesus. And then today, we cover this sermon, and what we're going to talk about today is really about being prepared. And as I was reading over the stuff for this morning, the theme that kept jumping out at me was this theme of everybody, or Jesus trying to get everybody prepared for what's happening. And Jesus, of course, is trying to get prepared for his whole life for this thing that has to happen, for his death, for the saving of the sins of the world. But what we see in this story too is Jesus trying to lead his disciples into preparation as well. And one thing that I noticed that jumped out to me was that sometimes our actions don't always match our desires. And I'm sure that you've all noticed this in your lives, and of course I have as well. Maybe you're a person who wants to pay off a lot of debt. So we have a little bit of, you know, we have a mortgage and a couple things, a little bit of debt, but you're a person that really likes to eat out. And so, you know, like, we really want to pay this debt off, but man, sushi on Sundays is so tempting, right? Or maybe you're a person like me who would like to lose a little bit of weight, but you're still stuck on the youth pastor diet. Yeah, and you laugh. The youth pastor diet is a real thing. If you don't know, the youth pastor diet is like a lot of pizza and Lucky Charms with like a Mountain Dew instead of milk. That's the youth pastor diet. Now, if you don't think this is a real thing, I say that it is, because yesterday I was on the internet and I found a site dedicated to helping youth pastors lose weight. Right. So then what did I do? Next slide there. I signed up and I was ready to go. And then Lauren went, "Do you want the last Pop-Tart?" And I went, "Yes." And my actions didn't match my desires in that moment. Maybe you want to have a great relationship with your kids. I know as a new dad, I'm really working towards this, but this is a real struggle, isn't it? This idea of being distracted, of if we don't intentionally take the time to set aside time for our kids and time for that relationship, we're going to struggle to connect. And of course, maybe you want to have a better relationship with God. But you just don't take the time outside of Sundays or outside of a short prayer during a meal or outside of some other time that's already preset in your calendar. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to go through this story and we're going to see how Jesus prepares, and we're going to see how Jesus tries to prepare his disciples. And the two things that happen at the end of that are very different, because the way that those two groups prepare is very different. This morning we're going to read, it was already beautifully read, but we're going to go through it again, our story, the account of Jesus warning Peter that he would deny him, and then the beginning of the story of what happened in Gethsemane. And that comes from the book of Matthew. Matthew, of course, writes this account. We know Matthew is in the beginning, so if you're new and you don't know that much about the Bible, that's okay. I'll take 30 seconds. So the Bible is this great big book that we love. I have one here. Here it is. It's split into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It talks about God's promise that a Savior would come, and then, of course, in the New Testament, it talks about that Savior being Jesus being here. And all of these different accounts throughout time that were pieced together, all these individual books. And Matthew is one of these accounts, one of these books of the life, an account of Jesus and what he did here on earth. It was written probably between 50 and 70 AD. John, is that about right? John told me this week to just look over at him every once in a while, and he'd give me one of these or one of these. So I don't know I'm going to do that. And of course, Matthew was a Greek-speaking Jew, so this likely was a book meant for the Jewish people that spoke Greek. So Matthew 26, we heard it this morning, but we're going to go through it again. It starts like this. Then Jesus told them, "That very night, you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly, I say to you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows three times, you will disown me three times." But Jesus declared, "Even if I have to die with you," sorry, Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. I think this is really impactful because Jesus knows what's coming. Jesus has been preparing for this, and Jesus has been telling his disciples what's been coming too, but Jesus has a really, really, really good sense of what is about to happen. And he's saying, he's warning his disciples, and he's saying, you need to prepare. This is going to be tough. This is going to be hard. And I know that you are going to deny me at the end of this. And his disciples say, no, we won't. Their desire is no. We will die with you before we deny you. And when I read this, I don't question the heart of Peter at all. I believe that a person who spent that much intimate time and it was brought into the inner circle with Jesus would genuinely feel this way and would genuinely believe and would genuinely be pulled to this idea that I will die for you if I need to. And Jesus says, I know that that's not going to be the case. Let's just keep reading. Sorry. Then Jesus said with his disciples, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He then said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell to his face, fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, Jesus knows what's coming. Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, you need to prepare. Jesus knows, Andy Stanley says something really smart, and I loved it when I heard it the first time. Jesus knows that there's going to be a moment when he dies where there aren't going to be any Jesus followers for a little bit. Right after Jesus dies, their Savior is gone. They're not expecting him to come back. And Jesus is sitting here going, I know what is coming. You need to prepare. And then when Jesus comes back after prayer, he sees them asleep and he goes, guys, can you not just stay awake for a little bit? Can you not prepare for a little bit? Can you not watch out for me for a little bit? Because this is important time. Jesus implores them to be prepared and to pay attention because he knows how important the next few days are going to be. Jesus doesn't want them to fall into temptation, to fall into a place where they will run away, where they will deny him, even though he knows that's exactly what's going to happen. And to me, when I was reading this, what really jumped out at me is that this idea of a failure to prepare equals a failure to endure. And when I think about this, I think, like, when's the last time that I needed to prepare for something, but because I didn't, I wasn't able to follow through? And for us at home, and I'm sorry, honey, I'm outing us a little bit, but for us, it's meal prep. Now you're laughing. We have this idea that we want to, like, eat on a schedule, and we want to buy groceries, and we want to whatever. But if we don't spend the time on Sunday or Monday to prepare, by Tuesday we're eating pizza. And then Wednesday we're having leftovers. And Thursday, who knows? Because a failure to prepare equals a failure to endure. This happened to me last week and it scared the pants off me. I'm you know, still taking some Bible college classes. I've been in ministry for 12 or 13 years. I've done this for a little while, and I had somebody ask me a question last week at hockey that I was not ready for. And a lot of the guys at hockey know that I'm a youth pastor and know that I work in a church, but most of the time they don't talk about it. But somebody just came up to me last week and just asked me a question out of the blue. And to be honest, I wasn't ready for it. And because I wasn't ready, not that I wasn't ready to talk about my faith, not that I wasn't ready to talk about my job, but I wasn't ready for that question. And I answered it, and I did an okay job, and then I went home, and I made sure that I gave him the right answer. And I got into bed, and I just thought, man, I could have answered that better if I had just spent a little bit more time being a little bit better prepared. And so this is the thing that I'm trying to get to this morning, this idea that if we want a faith that endures, we need to prepare. We need to prepare for it. If we want a faith that is going to last through the times that Jesus warns us about, we need to be ready. We need to prepare for that time. Jesus shows us here, even in the garden, before he's about to be taken away and crucified, even he spent his whole life preparing. He knows what's coming. Jesus has spent his whole life preparing for this moment, and in the last few minutes before he gets taken away, what is Jesus doing? He is continuing to get ready. He is continuing to pray. He is continuing to lean on God because he knows that what is coming is hard. And what is coming is something he does not want to do. And what is coming is something that nobody would want to do, but that he has to do it. And the example that Jesus sets here for us is one that is a person who is so prepared to do what needs to happen. If we want a faith that endures, we need to prepare for it. And in our lives, this is really relevant. If we want a marriage that endures, right? We need to prepare for that. We need to get ready. If we want our faith to endure through financial crisis, through debts that pile up, through the loss of a job, if we want our faith to make it through those times, we need to be preparing our faith now. If we want our faith to endure through a death in the family or a sickness or something very hard with somebody very close to us, we need to prepare for that. This week, and don't worry to the youth member that I'm about to tell the story about, because I won't tell everybody who it is. This week, I was so impressed by one of the members of our youth group. We were in our youth group time, and we were having a discussion, and we were talking about times that it's been really hard to keep our faith together. And this student was talking to me, and talking to the group about a time where one of their friends committed suicide. And this student said to me, you know, when that happened, I wasn't really sure where I was going to end up standing with God. And I've only been here for a couple of months, but I've gotten to know this student a little bit, and I know that the reason, and the, you know, we had a little bit of a conversation after, the reason that this student's faith endured is because I can tell that that student is prepared for this. And I was so impressed and encouraged by hearing that. One thing that I've learned in the last 5 months of waking up at 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. is that if you want your faith to endure through a newborn, you need to be prepared. Because every once in a while you look up and go, God, why would you make my newborn act like this? If you want your faith to endure through a tough family challenge, you need to be ready for it. You need to prepare so that when the time comes that you need to lean on God, you're done preparing and you can just do it. And for us, that's tough enough. For those of us that are sitting in this room, that is sometimes difficult. But for those of us, and I can say that now, which is so weird, with kids, there is an added layer of responsibility there. Because if we want a faith that endures through our kids and through our children, we need to be prepared not only in our faith, but to give that faith to them as well. I do a lot of work with youth and young adults, and I do some traveling around our region to talk to churches about the next generation in Christ and the church. And one of the stats that sticks out to me the most is that 50% of students that go out of high school and into their first year of university abandon faith or faith practices within the first 2 weeks of post-secondary education. And I said this at our youth retreat, and one of the students spoke up and he went, "Wow, that's a crazy stat, but you don't mean us, right?" And I went, "Oh man, I hope I don't mean you." But that means that we need to be prepared now. We need to be getting our kids ready now. We need to be getting the students at this church ready now. We need to be getting the young adults at this church ready now. So that when they go out into the world, and so when we go out into the world and our faith is challenged, and around Easter, a few more people that wouldn't normally talk to us about the gospel come up and say, "What is that all about?" So we don't have to stop and think, so we can just act and we can tell them about how great and amazing the grace and mercy and love of God is in our lives. But in order to be able to do that in a way that we can exude confidence and we can be ready, we need to be prepared. If we want a faith that endures, we need to be prepared for it. And I love how Jesus set that example. Jesus went, "Guys, I need you to get ready with me." And then Jesus went and got ready. And he came back and he said, "Guys, I need you to get ready with me." And Jesus went and got ready. And then he came back again and said, "Guys, I really need you to get ready for this. This is a big deal." And then God, who knows everything and was in control of everything, continued to get ready. And I don't know about you, but if Jesus can get prepared right up until the moment that he needs to endure, then I don't think we can ever be over-prepared. And that's a challenge for me in my personal life too, because you read your Bible or you pray and you're like, "Oh, did I read for long enough today? Or did I pray for long enough today? Or did I listen to something, music or whatever, that was long enough today?" And I know that we have time and our lives are busy and we only have so much margin. But my encouragement to you this morning is that if Jesus taught us anything through this process, it's that we can never be over-prepared for what God is going to call us to do. If we want a faith that endures, we need to prepare for it. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for this unbelievable time of Easter. This time where we can look back and we can remember that God, you sent your Son for us, and that Jesus got so ready that when the time came to do what he needed to do, not for himself, but for everyone else, when the time of suffering came, when the time of sadness came, when the time of being alone came, that he was so ready to take that on for me and for us, that without question, he was able to do it. And God, I pray that this morning we would be able to learn from that example, and that we would be able to prepare as Christians and as people who want to make disciples, that we too could get ready in the same way that Jesus got ready, so that no opportunity would be missed to show the world how much you love it. Amen.
Would you stand with us? Would you stand?
Lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. when death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes all. Criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Feel encouraged this morning. There's two ways that we can take this morning. We can feel discouraged because we can feel not prepped enough, or we can feel encouraged about how important Jesus knew it was to prepare for us. And if we can take that attitude into our walk over the next few weeks here as we lead up to Easter, and if we can continue to pray for the people that are here, I'm convinced that through Christ's prep for us and for through ours, for those friends that we want to be here, we can see some amazing things happen. through his name. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I'm supposed to say, remember to stack the chairs.
No.
And please stay for the Peru fundraiser lunch. God bless you as you go. Have a great morning.